بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى، ووجدك ضالا فهدى، ووجدك عائلا فأغنى، فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر، وأما السائل فلا تنهر، وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: أنا وكافل اليتيم في الجنة هكذا، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders and friends, at the beginning of my talk, let me also put on record my gratitude to Islamic Relief for hosting me and providing me with the opportunity to reach out to the broader community. Generally, when I come, it is exclusive to the convention itself, which is very limited and restricted. But hopefully in this tour, it will be a broader output, inshallah. And may Allah make it successful for myself, for the host, and for all those that attend. A companion once came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he complained, أن رجلا شكا قسوة قلبه. O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for some reason I find that my heart is not receptive to Islamic material. It has become hard. It is not vibrant. It's not active. It's not responding. It's not giving me those signals. Like the pious mentioned, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muhammad ibn Sirin used to say, إذا أراد الله تعالى بعبد خيرا جعل له واعظا من قلبه يأمره وينهى. That when Allah intends good for an individual, Allah revives his spirituality. Allah activates it. Allah stimulates it. So now he picks up from happenings. Things affect him. He responds. It gives him nightmares. It affects him. It bothers him. It concerns him. But when a person's spirituality dies and it becomes dormant and inactive, then there could be carnage, there could be massacre, there could be catastrophes happening, but it doesn't bother him in any way. So a companion came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَنَّ رَجُلًا شَكَى قَسْوَةَ قَلْبِهِ. O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I find that my heart has become hard. ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةً وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارُ. Allah complains and addresses the issue that when the heart becomes hard, it becomes like rock. Nay, it is worse than rock. فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةً. Then in rock, in stone, in boulders, there are categories. وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارُ. There are some that split asunder from when rivers gush forth. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَشَّقَّقُ فَيَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ الْمَاءُ وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَهْبِطُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. Sometimes you walk in and you see beware of falling rocks. The Quran says some of those rocks fall out of the fear of Allah. But when the human heart becomes hard and non-receptive, then it becomes even harder than the rock and harder than the boulders. May Allah protect us. What was the formula and the recipe provided by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to counter this condition? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed it by two things. He said, إِمْسَحْ رَأْسَ الْيَتِيمِ وَأَطْعِمِ الْمِسْكِينِ. إِمْسَحْ رَأْسَ الْيَتِيمِ. Sit more often with the orphan and embrace the poor and Allah will soften your heart. For some of us, perhaps we need to sit and wonder when was the last we teared. Tearing and crying is part of our deen. Whether we recite in Quran or we make in dua, or we are looking at the crisis of the ummah. A believer is one. Salih Muzani rahimahullah said, I seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream. قَرَأْتُ الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ فِي الْمَنَامِ. Look at the richness of this dream. Look at the amazing nature. Last week I was in France and I gave a talk. And just when I completed the talk, one Arab brother came to me and said, Sheikh, This is my 6-year-old daughter. She had a dream. Can she share it with you? I said, share it with me. So she was a bit shy, a little child. And then she spoke to me in Arabic. Her name was Sumayya. She says, Ra'aytu Rabbi fil manam. Sheikh, I seen Allah in a dream. And we were four of us. And then Allah ushered me into paradise. And then I asked Allah, طَلَبْتُ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْمَوْزِ. I asked Allah for a fruit and a banana. So Allah gave me this fruit, and it was munawwar, it was radiant, it was permeating this brightness. And it was so amazing and wholesome that I ate, and all those that were with me, they ate from it. Then I seen the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When the average kid is dreaming Mickey Mouse and dreaming other things, and having all other negative thoughts due to other external influences, I hugged this girl, and I kissed this girl, and I complimented her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the 11 juz regarding the pious people, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. That the pious are those who enjoy glad tidings in this world. The scholars of tafsir tell us that glad tidings in this ayah means good dreams. Allah gives them noble dreams, great dreams, blessed visions. So Salih Muzani said, I had a dream, and I seen the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I was reciting the Quran to him. So he addressed me and he said, Ya Salih, هذه القراءة فأين البكاء. هذه القراءة فأين البكاء. Oh Salih, you recite very melodiously, but you would know the Quran is synonymous to tears. When you read the Quran, you cry. I see you reading the Quran, but I don't see you tearing. The Quran describes the pious that when they recite Quran, they tear. So this is one of the attributes of a believer, that he cries out of the fear of Allah. Those seven people who will be given shade under the throne of Allah, may Allah make us amongst them. رَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَا. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one is that person who sits in isolation, who sits in seclusion, and then he reflects over his wrong, and he contemplates over his relation with his Creator, and then tears just well up in his eyes and trickle down his cheeks. May Allah give us that spirituality. One day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered a talk. So what did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He said, do two things. Imsah ra'as al-yateem wa at'im al-miskeen. Embrace the orphan and feed the poor. The narration of Ibn Majah, khayru baytil muslimin, khayru baytil muslimin, baytun fihi yateemun yuhsanu ilayh. Wa sharru baytil muslimin baytun fihi yateemun yusa'u ilayh. The noblest Muslim home. How does Allah define a Muslim home to be noble? By its layout, by its embellishments, by its architecture, by its prime location? No. The noblest Muslim home in the eyes of Allah is that home in which an orphan resides. خَيْرُ بَيْتِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ بَيْتٌ فِيهِ يَتِيمٌ يُحْسَنُ إِلَيْهِ. To whom kindness is showed. And this is such an integral and such an important component of our deen. Our deen is wholesome. Our deen is all embracing. There was this young sahabi by the name of Bashir radiallahu anhu. And often when I read this, it just brings tears to my eyes. So his mom had moved on and she had passed away. He was living with his dad. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went in a campaign. Bashir radiallahu anhu's dad accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they returned, this was the teachings of Islam, and this is the beauty and the pragmatic nature of Islam. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would halt outside Medina, لِكَيْ تَمْتَشِتَ الشَّرِطَ وَتَسْتَحِدَّ الْمَغِيبَ. So that the woman at home could be informed that your husband would be returning tomorrow. She beautifies herself, adorns herself, prepares herself to receive her husband. We are living in a world where unfortunately porn has become the order of the day. People peruse the net for hours on end. How many marriages have been shattered and broken due to lack of loyalty and fidelity? Al-wafa'u shajaratun jami'u thimariha tayyiba. Fidelity is a tree that only bears good fruit. وَزِوَاجٌ بِلَا وَفَاءٍ أَيَّامُهُ قَلِيلًا. And a marriage and a relation and a union devoid of fidelity is short-lived. So the teachings of Islam, the Prophet ﷺ said, if you are attracted to a woman, then come home immediately. فَإِنَّ مَعَهَا مِثْلَ الَّذِي مَعَهَا. For verily Allah has kept the same beauty and the attraction in the woman at home who has devoted herself diligently to the domestic chores than any other woman outside. So the teachings of Islam is to bring you back home, to satisfy your need with your spouse. These are the teachings of Islam. Be it as it may, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's formula was, imsah ra's al-yatim wa at'im al-miskin. So Bashir radiallahu anhu accompanies the Prophet, Bashir radiallahu anhu's father accompanies the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they return, they halt outside Medina. The message is communicated to the Medinites that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam will come tomorrow. The little children go out to receive their fathers, their siblings, their uncles, etc. That was the norm and the practice. News will come in. So Islam dislikes where you come suddenly. The teachings of Islam is you inform, I will be arriving at this time. You don't want to get anyone unexpected. O Nabi of Allah, should I take permission when I go home? Yes. But O Nabi of Allah, I only live with my mom. The Nabi of Allah says, take permission. But O Nabi of Allah, it's only my mom. Take permission. But O Nabi of Allah, it's no stranger. The Nabi of Allah said, would you like to enter in the house and you find that your mom is not dressed? And you find her perhaps, scantily dressed? Or she is semi-nude? No, O Nabi of Allah. Hence Islam has imposed on you that you take adab. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu has mentioned, Amongst the laws that are neglected today, that are omitted today, one is talabul isti'dhan. Just walk into anyone's house. Just enter, just barge. No, this is not correct. We have to ask permission. أَدْخُلْ can I enter? And the Quran says very beautifully, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتًا غَيْرَ بُيُوتِكُمْ حَتَّى تَسْتَأْنِسُوا. Allah has used the word isti'nas. Isti'nas is talabul uns. Familiarize yourself. Okay, who is it? It's so and so with this name, better known as this. So all the children go outside to go and receive, and amongst them is Bashir radiallahu anhu as well. He's a little kid and he's looking. He's rotating his gaze, but he cannot see his dad in the audience. And he looks around and he looks around, nowhere to be seen. So he inches forward and he looks at the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, Ya Rasulallah, ماذا فعل أبي? O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where is my dad? Where is my dad? I will not forget this, and it's one of those incidents that has left an indelible impression on my heart. Way back when the tsunami had hit Indonesia in particular and other islands, I was en route to Australia, and then I joined hands with some welfare organization, and they told me to pass by and assist in the humanitarian aid that they were offering there, so that I could also relay the message in my subsequent talks. So this site just gives me a shiver in my back. We were in Bandar Aceh, the precise location where the tsunami had hit, and there were these orphans in the hundreds and the thousands that were camped adjacent to the masjid, and it was one big extended family living in the neighborhood of the masjid. And these children were so small that the hampers that were given to them, they could not carry those hampers. And then I had to speak, and there was a translator translating. And at that time I was thinking of my kids and how soft our children live, and looking at the reality of life that is unfolding in other parts of the world. And I quoted this very incident of Bashir radiallahu anhu, and I started tearing, and I seen these orphans tearing. So what happens? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam modestly turns his gaze. And then Bashir comes up from the other side. Mada fa'ala abi? O Prophet of Allah, where is my uncle? Where is my dad? And the Prophet of Allah turns again. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a very, very modest and a very bashful human. The hadith of Bukhari, kana ashadda haya'an min al-'adra'i fi khidriha. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more modest and bashful than a spinster. A virgin, an unmarried woman. Allah has sent her, created her, and insulated her with layers of modesty and bashfulness. But he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a greater sense of modesty. So he could never say no, he could never decline. He was very, very gentle, very passive, very diplomatic. Then the third time the Sahabi runs up, "Oh Prophet of Allah, my mom is late, has my dad also moved on?" Tears welled up his eyes and they trickled down. And the Prophet ﷺ then embraced Bashir and he said, "Ama tarda ya Bashir, ama tarda ya Bashir, an yakuna Rasulullahi abak." "Oh Bashir, are you not happy that as of today Muhammad is your father sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Aisha is your mother?" He said, "Raditu ya Rasulullah, Nabi of Allah, I am happy, O Nabi of Allah, I am satisfied. I am satisfied with this consolation, this compensation." Today there are thousands, nay tens of thousands, and stats are telling you that are languishing across the globe. How many of us have taken an initiative in any form, shape or size to keep ourselves abreast with the happenings of the ummah and to even spare a thought or a penny or a dime to alleviate the crisis of the ummah? In Arabic they say, "Jaz'uka, sabruka fi musibatika khayrun min jaz'ik, wa jaz'uka fi musibati akhika khayrun min sabrik." It is better for you to persevere on your own affliction than to react and to respond and to moan and groan. So if you've been afflicted in any way, the teachings are persevere. Contain yourself. Don't react. These are the teachings. But it is better for you to respond on the afflictions of others than to be silent. Today our scenario is the direct opposite. In any way, if I'm hurt in my family, in my neighborhood, then I want to really vent and I want to rave and I want to talk out about it and I really want to make a noise. And when others, anything happens, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't concern me in any way. As long as I am covered, I am protected, it's done. Uwais al-Qarni, the great tabi'een, khayru tabi'een, the noblest of the tabi'een. Every day when the sun would set, whatever excess food he had, he would give it in charity. And then he would supplicate his Lord and say, "Allahumma man mata ju'an fala tu'akhidhni bihi." Oh Allah, if anyone dies across the globe today due to poverty, I empathize with the victim, I sympathize with the victim, but don't hold me accountable. I gave my last slice of bread in charity. And whenever the sun would set, whatever excess clothing he had, often when I go in my closet, Allah is my witness, I cry. And each one of us need to take some soul searching. Somebody gave Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu some digestive herbs. Digestive herbs, because, you know, sometimes you have an indigestion and you need to take something to settle you down. So Abdullah ibn Umar said, "What am I going to do with these herbs? This is for people that overindulge. I've never eaten to my brim. Where am I going to have indigestion? Where am I going to have indigestion? Pop in a Nexium or taking this pill or taking that pill. These are for people." A sahabi was somebody who was sitting and then he burped. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ukfuf anna jusha'ak. Ukfuf anna jusha'ak." Brother, don't be so loud and don't burp. Those who burp loud in this world will be hungry on the day of Qiyamah. And obviously that sahabi was innocent and sincere and it was not deliberate. It was just, you know, he burped and it came out. It wasn't to reflect what I ate and came or how much I indulge or how much I eat. That wasn't the case. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu visits his son Abdullah and he's indulging in this scrumptious meat. So Umar radiallahu anhu asked his son, "What are you eating?" He said, "Ishtahaytu al-lahm." I've been inclining to eat meat and I've been feeling to eat meat. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu reproached his son and said, "Awa kullama ishtahayta shay'an akaltahu." Every time you desire something, who told you to indulge in it? "Kafa bil mar'i sarafan an ya'kul kullama ishtaha." It is sufficient to render an individual extravagant if he indulges in everything that he desires, even if it's permissible. So anyway, Sayyidina Uwais al-Qarni, whenever the sun would set on the western horizon, whatever excess clothing he had, he would give it in charity. And what would he say? "Allahumma man mata uriyanan fala tu'akhidhni bihi." Oh Allah, if anybody dies due to lack of shelter, lack of food, lack of provision, then don't hold me accountable, my Allah. whatever excess I had given it in your charity, I have given it in charity, and I have given it in the path of Allah. Really speaking, brothers, if there's one word that can sum up the crisis of the ummah that has plagued and paralyzed us today, it is the absence of barakah. We don't have barakah in our life, in our health, in our wealth, in our funds, in our time. There's just no barakah. Time is running away. Wealth is running away. In English, they say the problem with the average man is he got too much month at the end of his money. He's got too much month at the end of his money. In other words, money is finished by the 15th of the month and oops, there's still 2 weeks to go. So there's no more barakah. Barakah in time. A person was traveling in the remote jungles of Africa mounted on his mule. And someone came and nudged him and he said, brother, you know what? Things have evolved and we've innovated and we have modern transport and we're flying and this is what's happening. And you still riding your mule? He said, okay, I'm primitive. I am orthodox. I am laid back. You are innovative. You are advanced. So you arrived there way before me. What all the time that you save, what do you do? I'm riding slow on my camel, on my donkey, right? It's going to take me 3 weeks, it's going to take me 4 weeks. You're going to hop onto a flight and, you know, in a matter of hours you are there. What all the time that you have achieved, what are you going to do? I pray, I glorify Allah, I worship Allah throughout my journey. In that 5 hours, once I was flying in the US, and I won't forget this, the flight left slightly before schedule and we arrived before time. And as we got off, everybody's just like dashing. So the gentleman next to me said, but aren't we early? Why is everybody rushing? We before time, whoever has a connection or whatever, but that's how life has become. أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ يُقَرِّبَانِ كُلَّ بَعِيدٍ وَيَبْلِيَانِ كُلَّ جَدِيدٍ وَيَأْتِيَانِ بِكُلِّ مَوْعُودٍ. Don't you see the rapid turn of night and day is bringing every distant thing close, making every new thing old, and bringing everything on its appointed time. Amongst the signs of Qiyamah, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that a year will be like a month will be like a week will be like a day. And one of the yataqarabu zaman, one of the interpretations given is, that there will be simply no barakah in time. When you look at our pious predecessors, look at the famous tafsir of Jalalain, and it's mentioned there, the author writes, that I compiled the commentary of 15 juz in the duration that Musa went to meet his Lord on Mount Tur. In 40 days, a man compiles a commentary of the Quran. Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu anhu, لَمَّا قَضَى صَدِيقُ أَحْمَدَ نَحْبَهُ دَفَعَ الْخِلَافَةَ لِلْإِمَامِ الثَّانِي أعني به الفاروق فرق بين الحق والباطل ومضى وخلى الأمر شورى بينهم في الأمر فاجتمعوا على عثمان من كان يسهر ليلة في ركعة فيكمل ختمة القرآن. That Sayyidina Uthman was that individual comfortably reading the Quran in the correct pace, he would complete an entire Quran in one night. So today, if there's one word that can sum up our crisis, there's a void. We don't have barakah in our family life, in our time, in our wealth. And why we don't have barakah? What is the definition of barakah? Al-manafi'u al-kathira bi-asbabil qaleela. Al-manafi'u al-kathira, where Allah gives you maximum provisions, maximum benefit from minimum provisions. So you don't necessarily grow and advance and multiply by the common mathematical understanding from one shop to another, from one business to another, from one opportunity to another. No, you might be having your same small, but Allah gives you barakah in that. Allah gives you satisfaction in that. There is a very famous hadith in Bukhari and Muslim where Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu says, my dad called me on the eve of Jamal. It was the battle of Jamal and my dad called me. And I stood by his side. And he said to me, إِنَّهُ لَا يُقْتَلْ أَلْيَوْمِ إِلَّا ظَالِمٌ أَوْ مَظْلُومٌ وَإِنِّي لَا أُرَانِي إِلَّا سَأُقْتَلْ أَلْيَوْمِ مَظْلُومٌ. Oh my son, I'm afraid and I assume that today I will pass on. The pious have this feeling and understanding. وَإِنَّ مِنْ أَكْبَرِ هَمِّي لَدَيْنِي. If there's anything that bothers me and that concerns me, then it is my debts. أَفَتَرَى دَيْنَنَا يُبْقِي مِن مَالِنَا شَيْئًا. I think you need to calculate my liabilities, then measure my assets, and then dissolve my assets to offset my liabilities. Look at the maturity of the youth of that time. A dad can summon his son on the eve of a battle and have an intellectual dialogue and sigh with relief that I have nominated my son as the executor of my estate, and he will diligently follow it. Can you imagine that? Yeah, you tell it to him 1,000 times and then also, Hambro, you understood, will you do, will you comply? Have you appreciated what I have said? You know, the youngster said, the man said, before I got married, I had 6 theories on raising kids. Now I have 6 kids and no theories. وَإِنَّ مِنْ أَكْبَرِ هَمِّي لَدَيْنِي. The thing that bothers me the most is my debts. وَأَوْصَى بِالثُّلُثِ يعني ثُلُثُ الثُّلُثِ لِبَنِيهِ. He said, I want 1/3 of the third, that is a 1/9 of the estate, to be given to my grandchildren, that is your children. Abdullah radiallahu anhu. وَلَهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ تِسْعَةُ بَنِينَ وَتِسْعُ بَنَاتٍ. Abdullah radiallahu anhu says, my dad had left behind at that time 9 sons and 9 daughters. 18 children. And he's sitting and telling me, I'm not going to see the sunset, and please you must look after everything. فَجَعَلَ يُوصِينِي بِدَيْنِهِ. Allahu Akbar. He impresses upon me that please you need to settle my debts. You need to settle my debts. مَنْ مَاتَ وَهُوَ بَرِيءٌ مِّنَ الْكِبْرِ وَالْغُلُولِ وَالدَّيْنِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. What an amazing formula. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you die free from debts, free from deceiving anyone, and free from pride, free from 3 things, then Allah will give you Jannah. Today, unfortunately, we die guilty of all 3. We have debts also, we have pride also, and we have deceived people. مَنْ مَاتَ وَهُوَ بَرِيءٌ مِّنَ الْكِبْرِ وَالْغُلُولِ وَالدَّيْنِ لَا تَمْشِي عَلَى مَنَاكِبِ الْأَرْضِ فَاخِرًا فَعَمَّا قَلِيلٍ يَحْتَوِيكَ تُرَابُهَا وَمَنْ يَذُقِ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنِّي طَعِمْتُهَا وَسِيقَ إِلَيْنَا عَذْبُهَا وَعَذَابُهَا فَلَمْ أَرَهَا إِلَّا غُرُورًا وَبَاطِلًا كَمَا لَاحَ فِي ظَهْرِ الْفَلَاتِ سَرَابُهَا وَمَا هِيَ إِلَّا جِيفَةٌ مُسْتَحِيلَةٌ عَلَيْهَا كِلَابٌ هَمُّهُنَّ اِجْتِذَابُهَا فَإِنْ تَجْتَنِبْهَا كُنْتَ سَلْمًا لِأَهْلِهَا وَإِنْ تَجْتَذِبْهَا نَازَعَتْكَ كِلَابُهَا فَطُوبَى لِنَفْسٍ أُولِعَتْ قَعْرَ دَارِهَا مغلقة الأبواب مرخا حجابها. Very aptly and succinctly the poet says, لا تمشي على مناكب الأرض فاخرة. Don't arrogantly walk on the face of this earth, because soon you will be reduced to dust and this very land will consume you. فعما قليل يحتويك ترابها. The hadith of Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بَيْنَمَا رَجُلٌ يَمْشِي تُعْجِبُهُ نَفْسُ. A man was walking and he was impressed. Look at me, look at my wheels, look at my car, look at my dress, look at me, how I'm moving. And as he was walking, impressed by himself. They say a conceited person is wrapped up in himself. Is wrapped up in himself, too much of himself. So as he was impressed with himself, Allah ordered the earth to split and swallowed him instantly and closed up on him, and there was no trace of him. May Allah protect us. So my dad said to me in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may Allah protect us from debts. Sayyidina Luqman said to his son, don't take a loan, don't take a debt. Why? فَإِنَّهُ هَمٌّ بِاللَّيْلِ وَذُلٌّ بِالنَّهَارِ. These are the words of the pious. It is a nightmare when you sleep, and it is agony by day and restlessness by night. Whole night you'll be tossing and whole day you'll be restless. That is it. Disgrace by day, restlessness by night. That is the consequences. So my dad impressed upon me, dissolve my debts. And then he said the most amazing thing, Allahu Akbar. Ya bunayya in ajazta an shay'in minhu, fasta'in alayhi bi mawlaya. Allahu Akbar. Oh my son, while you are dissolving my debts, if you encounter any difficulty, feel free to speak to my master at any time. Feel free to speak to my master at any time. قَالَ فَوَاللَّهِ مَا دَرَيْتُ مَا أَرَادْ حَتَّى قُلْتُ يَا أَبَتِ وَمَنْ مَوْلَاكَ. I'm still digesting it. My dad is saying, I'm going to pass away. And he said, dissolve this. And he said, this is my bequest. And then he said, speak to my master, not my attorney, not my accountant, not my bookkeeper, not my family business. Speak to my master. I said, Abba, Papa, can you tell me who is your master? He looked at me and he said, Allah. Can you imagine and how rich a legacy it is if a father can leave behind for his children such a private relation with his Allah that his children can call upon Allah at any time and know very well, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَحْفَظُ بِالرَّجُلِ الصَّالِحِ وَلَدَهُ وَوَلَدَ وَلَدِهِ وَالدُّوَيْرَاتُ الَّتِي حَوْلَهُ. Muhammad ibn Munkadir rahmatullah alayhi said that Allah will protect, due to the piety of one man, his children, his grandchildren, and often the children in the neighborhood because of the piety of one man. And where does he deduce this from here? When Sayyidina Khadir was going, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to protect that wall. وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. That there was a wall that was about to collapse, and beneath it were treasures. So the Quran speaks about it. I don't want to digress, but just to put things into perspective for those that are not familiar with the incident, Musa alayhi salam came to a locality and he asked the people, can you entertain me? They said, no, we don't have anything for you. And that is why I say, if we are not hospitable and we are not generous in giving and entertaining, then Allah forbid, a time will come, we will even deny guests like those that are the friends of Allah. Why? Because it's not in your habit to feed people. So you just turn it down. You just turn someone down, you just decline someone. So then what happens? You turn a man like Musa and Khidr down. Can you imagine that? فَأَبَوْ أَن يُضَيِّفُوهُمَا. As they're exiting that locality, they find a wall that's about to collapse. So Khidr went up and he straightened it and he made it firm. So Musa alayhi salatu wa salam said, قَالَ لَوْ شِئِتَ لَتَّخَذْتَ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا. That these people were not hospitable, they were hostile, they were not friendly, they were not accommodating, and yet you showed a gesture of kindness. Why don't you take some compensation, some remuneration from them for the services and the wall that you have straightened for them? And then he went on to give the commentary of this, and he said, أَمَّا الْجِدَارُ فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. The wall had nothing to do with those people. There were two orphans. Yatimain, we spoke about orphans, and that's the tour and that's the focus. It belonged to two orphans. This wall, beneath this wall, there was a treasure. And it belonged to two orphans. And if the wall was going to collapse, the treasure was going to be exposed, and people would have usurped it, and people would have stolen it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed me to protect the wall, so that the treasure is not exposed. وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. The Quran highlights that their late father was a very pious man. And because of his piety, Allah had put it on me to protect the assets he left behind for his children. Imagine leaving behind that relation, that bond. In English they say he is a wealthy man whose children run into his arms even when his hands are empty. He's a wealthy man. He's a wealthy man. A child will run into your arms if he's a toddler and you have a toy, or if he's a grown up and you give him a phone, or if he's great, you know, into adolescence and you give him access to money or a car or wheels or whatever it is, he will run into you.
He's not loyal to you, he's loyal to his need. His loyalty is not to his biological parent, his loyalty is to his need. But fortunate is that father whose child runs into his arms even when his hands are empty. May Allah make us like that. May Allah make us that we appreciate. I often said this and I'll say it again. In the cycle of being a father, there have been too many times that I have gone back to my dad and apologized, because certain realities only dawn upon us later in our life. We don't realize how deliberately or inadvertently we might be hurting our parents. And when my son says that to me, you know, in English they say, by the time you realize your dad was correct, you have a son who thinks you are incorrect. By the time you realize your dad, oh, the old man was good. The old man was right, but he's gone. But when you realize that your son is daring you in your eyes and say, no, dad, you don't make sense, you're naive, you're foolish, you're silly. So by the time that reality dawns upon you, my dad was wise, my dad was circumspect, my dad was honest, he was candid, he was intelligent, and I didn't realize. By the time you realize it, your son is challenging you. That's the tragic cycle of life. Anyway, he said, oh my son, whatever issues you have, feel free. I mean, that just gives a shiver in my back. That gives a shiver in my back. Oh my son, whenever you have any issue, just turn to, today a person will tell you, he says, oh, you have an issue, just phone me. Then you phone him, his phone is engaged. And then you phone him, no network. Now, that's it. With Allah, there's nothing of that. I mean, can you imagine this relation? Can you imagine, what's my bond with Allah? What relation am I leaving? When Umar ibn Abdulaziz was in the throes of death, and I'm digressing, but it just comes to mind here, and Muhammad ibn Maslama was present, and he said, إِنَّكَ فَطَمْتَ أَفْوَاهَ أَوْلَادِكَ عَنْ هَذَا الْمَالِ. You've been a great man, and you've been an awesome ruler, but you've denied your children wealth. You haven't given them any asset. On what are they going to rely? You know, they say in Urdu, someone said it very aptly, har baap ki ye fikr hai ke mere marne ke baad meri aulaad ka kya banega. Aaj kis baap ki ye fikr hai ke mere aulaad ke marne ke baad unka kya banega. Everybody is worried, the day my eyes close, what's going to happen to my children? But what about the day their eyes close, what will happen to them? How will they face Allah? So he said, ajlisuni, set me up, and they set him up. And then he said, my children are of two types, imma salih wa imma talih. I have the diligent and I have the delinquent. I have the noble and the wicked, the righteous and the evil. They make up my children. Because Allah had blessed him with many children. As far as the noble, وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ, Allah said that he befriends the pious. So I don't have to care for them, they are in the custody of Allah. As far as the evil from my children, why should I leave behind wealth for those of my children who due to their evil will abuse their wealth, and I will only suffer more in my grave. And then he called his children, تَرَقْرَقَتْ عَيْنَا, تَرَقْرَقَتْ, he started tearing, as I mentioned early on. And he said, oh my children, إِنَّكُمْ لَا تَمُرُّونَ بِأَحَدٍ مِّنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَوْ أَهْلِ ذِمَّتِهِمْ إِلَّا رَأَوْا أَنَّ لَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ حَقًّا. I haven't left behind much in the form of cash and kind, in assets and wealth, but I've lived a noble life, that whoever will see you, Muslim or non-Muslim, will respect, salute and revere you because of the legacy and the values of your late father. That's respect. Today you die and you could amass the wealth, but through unlawful sources, and you pass by, then a person gives you a nasty remark. No, not you, your father, man. And he's hurling nasty remarks and abusing your late father, and people are hurting and throwing unpleasant things to you because of your late father. And you inherit that bad stench because of his habits. May Allah give us the ability to live a clean life. May Allah give us the ability to leave a clean ending, so that we have been taught to be the means of attracting du'as and not curses. Don't be the one who attracts a curse. So, oh my son, if you have any issues, call on my Lord. So Abdullah radiallahu anhu said, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا وَقَعْتُ فِي كُرْبَةٍ مِّن دَيْنِهِ إِلَّا قُلْتُ يَا مَوْلَى الزُّبَيْرِ اِقْضِ عَنْهُ دَيْنَهُ فَيَقْضِيهِ. Whenever I grappled, whenever I had a snag or a setback or an issue in any of my dad's liabilities, I looked at it, I calculated, I applied my mind, I said, the Lord of Zubair, assist the crisis of Zubair. And instantly Allah would aid and create a niche and an opening for me from that crisis. لَمْ يَدَعْ دِينَارًا وَلَا دِرْهَمًا. My dad didn't leave behind cash. إِلَّا أَرْضَيْن. But he left behind two lands. مِنْهَا الْغَابَ. One was the land called Ghaba. The hadith is in Bukhari. This was close to Medina. إِحْدَى عَشَرَةَ دَارًا بِالْمَدِينَ. 11 houses in Medina. دَارَيْنِ بِالْبَصْرَة. 2 houses in Basra. Daran bi Kufa, one house in Kufa. Daran bi Misr, one house in Misr. Wa innama kana daynuhu alladhi kana alayhi anna ar-rajul kana ya'tihi fa yastawdi'uhu iyya fa yaqulu la walakin huwa salafun innama akhsha alayhi ad-dai'a. When I calculated the liabilities of my dad, then it was 2,200,000 dirhams. Large amount. You might think, why did my dad incur these debts? My dad never borrowed a dime from anyone, but these were his liabilities. So where did he get this here? He said, my dad was so amazing that whenever anybody came and gave him money as a trust and an amana, please keep this as a trust. My dad said, I'm not going to take it as a trust. Because the jurisprudic ruling, the Islamic fiqh ruling is, if somebody gives a trust to you and that money gets stolen or gets misplaced without negligence on your part, then you're not liable. It's not your responsibility. So my dad, out of his kindness, would say to people, I'm going to take your money as a loan so that your money is secured. I mean, this is Islamic banking. Can you imagine? Like how they operated. Embracing total risk for the opposite partner. Your money is, so you telling me to keep this amana, I will keep it as an amana. If I keep it as an amana, somebody steals it, then I'm not responsible. Is that, that's the teachings. So he said, no, brother, I'm going to take it as a qarz. I'll take it as a loan. So when I take it as a loan, I have to pay it back to you. However it stays with me, I am liable. Allahu Akbar. And then my dad would take this money, and then he would dispense, he would assist, he would aid, he would spend, he would channel it in all the causes of good. And in doing so, this is how this amount just accumulated and accumulated. And then he passed away and I looked at it and I said, my word, lo and behold, this is 2,200,000. Anyway, Hakim ibn Hizam met me, radiallahu anhu. After my dad passed on, we attended to the rituals of burial. I did the calculations and he met me. He said, kam ala akhi min ad-dain. How much did your dad leave behind in his debts? What's the cost? فَكَتَمْتُهُ. Allahu Akbar. Just look at the fabric of that society. When he came to ask me, I realized he was extending help. But I said to myself, my dad told me I must ask Allah. So I downplayed the figure and I said, my dad's only owing about 100,000. My dad's only owing about 100. If I know I have to clear up and somebody comes and asks me how much your dad is owing, I will add on 2 zeros. I'll add on. And what is it? It's from Allah. It's coming from Allah. Allah diye to naini kewano. Allah ki taraf se aa raha hai. Le lo. I would add on 2 zeros. And say, hey, you know what? It's in the 10 million mark. Yeah, give or take. But that's all. But anyway, make dua. No, this was a society. This was an ideal. In English they say, a society grows great when people plant seeds, knowing very well that they won't live to sit in the shade of those trees. A society grows great when you plant a seed. Why? You're not planting for yourself. You're not thinking narrow, limited, restricted, selfish. You're looking selfless. Generations will come. People, a school child will sit here one day. A society grows great when people plant seeds, knowing very well that they won't live to see the shade of those trees. But somebody will use it one day and that's good enough for me. That was the Ummah once upon a time. The vision was broad. The output was great. It was selfless. They were not limited by their narrow confinement. They thought beyond. Katamtu, I said, nah, it's just about 100,000. He said, ma ara amwalakum tasa'u hadhihi. Listen, I think that's 100,000 is going to be cumbersome. It's going to be daunting. I doubt your financial muscle will warrant it. So I then engaged him. I said to him, yeah, kind of. But let me just ask you a question. Ara'aita in kanat alfay alfin wa mi'atay alfin? What would be your thoughts if I had to tell you and reveal to you that my dad's liabilities were 2,200,000? Hakim ibn Hizam said, I doubt you have 100,000. If it had to be 2 million, whoa, then you would be really overwhelmed by it. But anyway, listen, my brother, whatever the cost are, whatever the case is, in ajastum an shay'in minhu fasta'inu bi. I'm only offering a helping hand. That's all. Nothing else. I just want to help you and assist you. That society was something else. Everybody must, there is, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever a funeral was brought, then he would say, hal taraka min daynin? Did the deceased leave behind any debts? And they said, yes. Hal taraka min wafa'in? Did he leave behind any wealth to offset those debts? And they would say, yes, O Nabi of Allah. Then he would lead the prayer. And then, if a body was brought, a corpse was brought, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hal taraka min dayn? Did he leave behind any debt? Yes, O Nabi of Allah. Hal taraka min wafa'in? Has he left behind wealth to offset it? No. Sallu ala sahibikum. This was the initial stage. Then I don't want to lead the funeral prayer of someone who hasn't left behind adequate funds to offset his debts. So there was a principle and a message that needed to be communicated, and hence he sallallahu alayhi wasallam then backstep. But then, look at the sahaba, look at the makeup. Sayyidina Ali comes from the rear. O Nabi of Allah, don't deny this man your prayer. Whatever his debt is, I will settle it. And whoever the creditors are, they can come and claim it from me. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَكَّ اللَّهُ رِهَانَكَ مِنَ النَّارِ كَمَا فَكَكْتَ رِهَانَ أَخِيكَ الْمُسْلِمِ. Ali, you've liberated his soul. May Allah liberate your soul. You know, it was this wholesome society. It was this whole community together. I grow together, not on the, I don't thrive and exploit and abuse others. So anyway, he says, I appreciate your kind gesture. Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu said, Man kana lahu ala al-Zubairi shay'un falyuwafina bil-ghaba. Anybody who has a claim from my father, he must come and meet us at Ghaba. Ghaba was the land that he had purchased. You can come there. It was close to Medina. Zubair radiallahu anhu had purchased this for 170,000. Wa kana al-Zubair qad ishtara al-Ghaba bi 100,000 wa 70,000. 170,000 dirhams he had purchased it. But obviously the value of the price appreciated and of the land went up, and in value it went higher. So Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he sold it for 1,600,000. Allah gave him barakah, barakah. Imam Bukhari brings this hadith under the chapter, Babu Barakatul Ghazi fi Ahlihi Hayyan wa Mayyita. How Allah gives barakah to the pious in their life, even post their demise. Just, there was one sahabi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made dua for him. And really I'm saying, by us, as the appeal has been made to reach out to an orphan, remember the dua of an orphan. What that will do to your life, no amount of revenue will bring goodness in your life. Because that is direct. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, myself and an orphan are that close. And he pointed with his two fingers. So imagine your funds going out. There were two people. Shakal muhtarifu ila rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One sat in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one was in business and trade. So the one that was in trade, the two brothers, siblings, the one that was in business, he came, O Prophet of Allah, my brother is always with you, he's just sitting with you, he's just reading with you, he's just praying with you, and I'm working and I'm toiling. You need to tell him, he needs to do something. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, because he is with me, that is why you are making money in your business. لَعَلَّكَ تُرْ I'm paraphrasing, right? It's not a verbatim, but that's the essence of it. لَعَلَّكَ تُرْزَقُ بِهِ Because your brother is with me and sitting with me, Allah is giving you barakah in. So when you're saying, you know what, I'm spending on the pious, I'm spending on an orphan, really they're sustaining us more than we can sustain them. وَهَلْ تُرْزَقُونَ إِلَّا بِدُعَفَائِكُمْ وَهَلْ تُرْزَقُونَ إِلَّا بِدُعَفَائِكُمْ You are sustained and provided through the weak amongst you. Through the weak amongst you. So my mother is not staying with me, I am staying with my mom. My mom is looking after me, I'm not looking after my mom. No, how can I look after my mom? Allah is looking after, she is taking care of me. May Allah give us that understanding. Sayyidina Uthman said, radiallahu anhu, the poor man is not in need of our wealth as much as we are in need of his du'as. So just to expedite it, and then obviously they will have a presentation. So, Abdullah radiallahu anhu made the announcement that anybody who has a claim, they can come to Ghaba. Subhanallah. So Abdullah bin Ja'far comes. And he says, listen, I've got the record here. Your late father owed me 400,000 dirhams. But I've come to tell you that I've cancelled the debt and I don't have any claims. I want to overlook it. إِن شِئْتُمْ تَرَكْتُهَا لَكُمْ Really, I don't need the money. It's fine. So one day someone passed away and they asked me, Shaykh, will you come make the dua at the grave? So I'm like, fine. I went there and I made dua and then I said, may Allah forgive him, may Allah envelope him in his mercy and everything. And I just completed the dua and a brother nudges me. He says, Shaykh, but he owes me money. I'm like, who? He said, this guy here. I said, okay, brother, can you be a bit slow now? It's like family, we're at the grave. Literally. Can you? He said, no, but he's owing me money. Right? And the hadith said, إِنَّ لِصَاحِبِ الْحَقِّ مَقَالَ The one to whom money is owed, he has a right to argue. We will tell him to be sensitive. We will tell him to be diplomatic. We will tell him to be respectful. But in terms of him claiming his funds, he's right. The Arabic proverb is very apt. It says, تَعَاشَرُوا كَالْإِخْوَانِ وَتَعَامَلُوا كَالْأَجَانِبِ تَعَاشَرُوا كَالْإِخْوَانِ Love like brothers, but let your monetary dealings be like strangers. When it comes to money, I don't know you from a bar of soap.